You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Remember, there will be no show tomorrow. Wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And also want to remind you the football season is here. That means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Let's go back to the phones. 216-578-0850. Cardick in Hudson. Nice restaurants in Hudson. Downtown 140, The Red Door. And Cardick now joins us. What's up, Cardick?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I was more just disappointed than angry, but I think that there's a bigger issue because I think between Browns fans, there's a large segment of the population who's significantly older, and then there's a young population who was very excited about Johnny and who was just hanging onto the Browns by a thin thread right there. And now with this happening and Johnny getting benched, like for me, I'm 19 and I can't take this anymore. Like I can't cheer for this team anymore. It's just waned over the years. And Johnny was the only hope that I had left. And I just can't find any hope with Danny Shelton or Cam Irving or Mike Pettine. I think this team is terrible.
I hear what you're saying in terms of, you know, that Johnny was the hope. But do you also feel that, you know, when you look at this situation that he's put them in, do you think they had an alternative to do something differently? And are you, when you say that you're frustrated, are you frustrated with Johnny's behavior? Are you frustrated with the Browns? Or are you frustrated with the whole kit and caboodle? Is he gone? Dino, is he gone? Oh, that was it. Well, I guess then we won't have a back and forth, as it were. Let's go to Mike in Cleveland now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You know, I said as soon as I saw that video, and we've given Johnny so many chances, I said right then and there, just cut your ties with a guy. You know, the team isn't going anywhere, guys, and I'll tell you, I was watching Saturday night. I was watching Cal and Stanford game, and I was watching Jared Goff. And I'll tell you, that kid has an arm. He's got feet. He looks to me like a young Peyton Manning. Obviously, it's not fair to compare the two. But I'll tell you, this kid's got all the intangibles, great arm, great pro-style offense. Just cut your ties with Manziel. Play out the season. Don't give away that number one pick. I know we keep saying it over and over and over again. Take off number one and just go from there. You know, it just got to cut your ties and go on to move bigger and better things.
Goff certainly moves like Peyton Manning in the pocket, studied Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers does a lot of things similar to them. He's going to take some time, but I do think he has some very good pro traits, and I think that he has an opportunity to be a very good quarterback in the National Football League. Let's go stay on the phones now, 216-578-0850. Valerie in Elyria, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You got it, Valerie. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I've never really called in before, so pardon
me if I don't
sound
welcome.
Coherent. I just wanted to bring up something I hadn't heard anyone else say, but I haven't been listening the whole time. So, the perspective of Johnny and his disease, the prevailing wisdom that I'm aware of is that any kind of substance abuse does have a disease root to it.
Sure.
And just that, you know, that doesn't mean you're not responsible for your actions. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have consequences. I fully believe you should, and this is probably the best thing they could do for him. But I'm just thinking, like, I think he had good, in my personal opinion, he had good intentions, but look what happened. It fell apart because it is a powerful disease, and you can have the best intentions in the world, and you go out, and suddenly you're in an environment you shouldn't be in, and you're doing what you are most comfortable doing. So that's what I see what happened to him, and I hope that whoever's helping him in his recovery, be it a 12-step program or whatever, I hope someone's reaching out to him because I think that young man needs help and needs to. I think recovery is hard enough, but if you're trying to do it in the spotlight, it's got to be 1,000 times harder.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and this is interesting. Brandon Marshall, who battled many things before he got diagnosed successfully for his condition, he tweeted out today, and I quote, this is Brandon Marshall, wide receiver for the New York Jets. I love the decision the Browns made with Johnny Manziel, probably going to save his life. He certainly is of the opinion that Johnny Manziel has an issue or an illness, because when one of the ways that you know that you have some type of addiction, etc., is that you do things, you make decisions that hurt you in other aspects of your life to support what you're doing. And when you're somebody who's been in a rehab facility and you make a decision like this in the face of having complete clarity, as it was made clear from Mike Pettine today, that there was a zero tolerance policy for this type of behavior in public for Johnny Manziel, that, you know, you got to look into it. So it's interesting to hear a guy like Brandon Marshall check in and say something like that.
And Brandon Marshall's, I think his comments probably yesterday, I think he was on a Showtime TV show with Boomer Esiason, or an interview with Boomer Esiason.
It was Inside the NFL last
Inside
night.
The NFL, yeah, they went back and forth.
Yeah.
And Esiason was still in favor of playing him. And Brandon Marshall, you know, made very aware that how he feels in regards to obviously struggling with some type of addiction or a problem was that, you know, Johnny Manziel was a better teammate and was a better player when sober. And now, unfortunately, he's not, because he's fallen back into old habits. And that's, and what's even more frustrating is I could understand going away and doing these things had you been the backup quarterback. Because I'm sure the conversation with Mike Pettine and that potential zero tolerance policy conversation wouldn't happen as the backup quarterback. While, yes, you don't want him to do anything embarrassing or shine, you know, a negative light on either him, the Browns, or the franchise as a whole, or Mike Pettine himself, he's got, as you mentioned, he's got enough problems. But it's an utter disregard for the fact that you've just been given everything you've been probably wanting since being drafted by the Cleveland Browns. And as you said, through his addiction or through his problems, comes right out, you know, and doesn't shy away from acting out and feeding that frenzy to be in the limelight.
Absolutely, and that, I think, is the issue that we are dealing with. Let's go to Jim in Akron. Jim, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas?
First, not too much, man.
First and foremost, I want to wish you guys and your families a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
You guys have a blessed day tomorrow. You know, it's frustrating because, you know, Johnny basically made Pettine force his hand. You know, I mean, so why is it other teams can take a chance on a potential knucklehead and it not bite them in the butt? You know, every time we try to take a chance on one of these guys that have a lot of upside but might have some either, you know, off the field issues or you know, I think with Johnny, you know, he was basically born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a heck of an athlete. He's never really had to, you know, be accountable. You know, maybe it sounded like his dad tried to do an intervention or something when he was in high school, and obviously it didn't work. And I understand, you know, being young and you know, having the fame in that, but, you know, it's like there's no incentive for him to get better. You know, I don't know if it's going to take, you know, somebody literally sitting him down and say, listen, you know, we understand you're a young guy. You know, you got the rest of your life to go out and have some beers. And it's not just necessarily, you know, he is an adult. He's allowed to drink. But, you know, I don't know if he's more addicted to the alcohol or he's more addicted to the Instagram and the social media. You know, it's like, it's frustrating. You know, and that young kid, Kardik, you know, the society now, it's like a microwave society. We want instant gratification.
Yep.
You know, it's like us, you know, I'm getting older. I like not to think that I'm old, but, you know, I've seen the ups and downs. And, you know, I was there protesting when Modell moved the team, and I still think that a lot of this just goes back to we never had enough time to put the right people in place to start, and it's just been a domino effect. You know, you start off with 6 months to put a team together, and you have a GM that doesn't really, you know, he was a football player, but he wasn't really an X and O's guy.
Right.
You know, and you blow one draft, and that puts you behind the eight ball 5 years. And we know we've blown a lot of drafts. Now, I'm not really ready to say that this draft was a bust. You know, they weren't glamorous picks. But I think Danny Shelton and hopefully Cam Irvin will be, you know, cornerstones of our lines. You know, and I think if we can draft a playmaker on the offensive, defensive side, the playmaker linebacker, they'll let Danny Shelton tie up tackles and get a playmaker to make plays.
All right.
Appreciate the phone call, obviously. Yeah. Yes.
And the one comment that I just want to make, and we'll grab a break here, is I was obviously a 21-year-old, you know, being drafted out to California from the state of Ohio after a lot of success at Ohio State, national championship, All-American, blah, blah, blah. And I, in some cases, succumbed to the pressure of the nightlife in the bustling city of having money and essentially some responsibilities to your team and some when there's, you know, and some when there's not. And it was very easy if I wanted to, in some weeks that I would be out seven nights in a row. Okay. Bender after bender after bender after bender. And ultimately, and mind you, I was not drafted in the first round and I was not a quarterback and I was not a starter at this time.
Right.
Okay. Or potentially even being like in a battle to start.
What was the kind of like aha moment that if I actually want to do what I want to do in this league, I can't do
the
this.
Aha moment was some of the right people on the team and the professionals that I've always talked about, Keenan McCardell, Randall Godfrey. You know, they would always laugh at the stories that you would tell, that what happened from the night before or what happened with, you know, in the club or, you know, in the situation. They would always laugh, but then they would, you know, on the side, pull you aside and go, dude, I was the same way too. And then they just rattle off the number of guys that were just as talented, drafted higher, you know, been paid more money, that were now
out of the league,
selling cars, selling real estate, out of the league, not living their dream. And it really just, and it was the things that scared me is like, A, it was like, you know, you can go broke, which there's thousands of guys, you know, post-career in every professional sport that struggle, you know, because football, baseball, basketball, hockey, it's all we know. And then it's like you got to figure, you know, the number of individual professional athletes that get caught up, you know, with children out of wedlock and in situations like that, or different addictions that come up because you feed into a frenzy of people that are not in your profession. You hang around with people that are fun, that love to go out to the clubs, but they don't have a job like you have. They're not under the microscope like you have. They're spending your money. They have no risk. They get to crawl back into their 1,000-square-foot apartment that they spend $600 a month on, you know, and sleep all day long while you have to go to work. And ultimately what it boiled down to is it came to the point where I go, if I continue down this path and go three more months, six more months like this, I'm going to be out of the league. And when I'm out of the league in 2 years or a year and a half or whatever it is, that's my fault, and it's a reflection on me, Ohio State University, my parents, the city that I came from, the high school that I graduated from, and I wanted to beat those odds because so many people cycle in and out. That's why the league average is a shade over 3 years. You know what I mean? Because it's a tough business.
Well, and I also think, and you can speak about this better than I can, but, you know, for you, you were the man in high school. You were the man in college. Then you go to the NFL, and you're not the man.
Right.
Certainly not right away. And some people are like, well, then screw this. Like,
everything's been
so easy. And this is ridiculous.
And just like Johnny was the man. He's still the man. But the fact of the matter is, my rookie year in the National Football League is the only losing season. So I wasn't enamored and engaged with football because, A, I wasn't playing in the product that we were playing on the field. We were losing every week. So I had to go find fun somewhere else because the game of football was not fun. I had just not lost for one season at Ohio State, and now I'm losing 5 weeks in a row. That's not fun. So I went and found fun in a new city with money in my pocket. And I knew that if I did that long enough, I'd have no money in my pocket and have no fun with no career.
Right.
And I changed. It was literally my shift in my head with the help of some professionals in that locker room.
And this is a question that just came in from Al Zaray, do you feel that when you were partying like that, that it impacted your ability to understand, know your playbook the way that you needed to know and affected your preparation and your assignments?
Yes. And the reason why I say that is because if you know you have 3 hours, you know, oh, I've got 3 hours to lay around and do nothing. It's like, are you going to spend that time working, or are you going to spend that time thinking about where you're going to go, with who, how are you going to get there, who's going to drive, who's going to be there? You're texting the, you know, hey, see you tonight at 10:30. You know, you're
texting the girls.
You're driven towards what's next, and you're not dealing with what's in front of you, which is your job. So yes, in that losing mindset, that losing atmosphere, when you're so worried about going out and being Mr. Popular, your career is secondary.
All right, and there it is from a man who lived it, Matt Wilhelm, who had much, much more than a cup of coffee in the National Football League, my friends. All right, when we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. We'll also hear some national takes on the Browns' decision with Johnny Manziel. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily. Still to come, Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports at 2:30 here on CBD.